it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
D. Mays, Finger the Donick, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Titans head coach Brian Callahan is addressing reporters now. We'll take you there.
Hey, currently to the practice squad, just to have another veteran quarterback, just have some learn this week and have some familiarity. So if we needed him for the emergency third on game day, we could potentially use him. So just with a quarterback dealing with an injury, it was the smart thing for us to do as an insurance policy to have Trevor come in and get some familiarity with our offense. Other than that, I think that's it for as far as injuries go that are and roster moves that are updated. So with that, I'll let you guys go ahead.
Does the Simeon move indicate anything about Will's status?
It was more looking at the, you know, he goes out of the game. We got one quarterback that can play. So just getting a guy in that can at least have some familiarity as an insurance to have a third quarterback in that's a veteran guy. I know I have said before that I'd prefer a younger one. I would for developmental purposes, but this is a different situation. This is more of a making sure we have someone that could be ready if we need him. So that's sort of where we're at with.
Do you expect Will to be full go today, or do you expect to have to limit him?
I do. I think he'll be close to full. We may limit him a little bit just because, but again, we'll see. He's going to go out and throw, and we're going to see how he feels and how his body responds. So intent is for him to practice, and he'll practice as much as he can tolerate and hopefully feel pretty good. But again, we'll see. There'll be no we'll probably list him as limited on their injury report, just so you guys are aware.
You've been with Simeon a couple of times before, is that right?
Two different times, yeah. Okay. I was with Trevor when we drafted him in the seventh round in Denver. I left that year in 2015. He ended up starting the next season in 16. And then we had him in camp, off-season in camp last year in Cincinnati, competing for that backup spot. So been around a lot, seen a lot of football, has a lot of offenses in his brain, I'm sure. But I know Trevor well, and I trust him. And if you know, for a guy to come in and pick it up, he's up to that task.
How's he looking for Jeffrey? How do you expect him to be out there today?
He'll rest today. It's his normal Wednesday rest day. But I feel positive about where he's at. Again, he's a we'll see still at this point, but feel good about him today.
How's Leroy Dunn kind of developing under your watch since he got here in April?
Yeah, he's done a nice job. He's still a young player, even though he's been in the league for a little bit, but he's going to get a chance to compete and to see what he's got. And I think that's the right move for our offensive line and for our team is to see what he has and what he can help us, where he can help us. And he's done a nice job. He's obviously familiar with the little bit of the system to some degree with the time in Cleveland. But, yeah, it's just an opportunity for him, and we'll see what he does with it.
Is that a split reps situation this week?
Yeah, as best we can. I mean, they'll both work, and we'll see where we end at the end of the week.
Is there anything you say to Will about playing through pain, being smart through pain? I know you've had quarterbacks deal with that before. Just what are the best practices there?
I just ask him to be honest and be smart. And ultimately, as long as he feels like he can go do his job as an NFL quarterback, and that's make all the throws and be able to take hits and all those things and feel good enough that your level of play is not going to dip because of it, then let's roll. But if at any point you feel like you can't do something that's going to ultimately hurt him or hurt our team because you can't function in the same level or same manner that you're used to, that's when you have to be smart about it. And that's for me to make the decision at the end of the day. But I do trust that he'll be honest and give us the right feedback on how he feels and how his body feels by the time we get ready to kick off on Sunday. So it's an important, open and honest conversation that him and I have together about how he feels and how effective he feels he can be. And the minute you don't feel like you can be effective enough to help the team win, then that's when you have to make a decision to go with somebody else. And that's every position across the board. But certainly for the quarterback, if you can't perform the requisite skills at the level necessary, then you're putting us at a disadvantage. So that's the best way to answer it.
The thing that had a lot of people excited about Will last year, administratively, coaching-wise here, were the occasional brilliant throws.
No doubt.
And I guess you talked about some of those on tape when you arrived. Outside of maybe the 40-yard touchdown against the Jets that he snuck between two defenders, how many of those kinds of throws do you feel like he's made this season?
Probably. I mean, again, short, small sample size too, but I think he made a couple. I think he made a few more over the course of the season last year. And we'll keep trying to find places for him to make those. You know, I thought that the throw that got intercepted to the against the Jets was an aggressive throw that you'd like to – had you come down with it, you feel pretty good about. He made a really nice throw to Calvin on a bench route in that game too, late in the game. Beautiful timing and anticipation, accuracy. And he's thrown a couple other balls that may not be as exciting as some but are still really, really good throws. So, we're still trying to find ways to unlock that too, try to get more balls down the field, a little more explosive when we can. But, those are the things that makes Will an exciting player, and got to keep finding ways to let him do that.
Why do you think coming into a situation with an offensive coach and that's your MO with a quarterback and all the guys you've been to, we would have expected those to have shown up more often, not less?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. The biggest one probably is that our opportunities have been limited in some senses, especially with the turnovers and the protection of them. I mean, some of those throws require some time, and we have not probably done a good enough job in that realm to provide some of the time necessary to make those. And then some of it's just me calling more plays that allow him to do that too. So there's a lot of factors that go in. So I'm hopeful that we can continue to unlock that stuff as we keep moving forward.
Along those lines, in terms of his development and those types of things, is it possible that the league has now seen him and has kind of adjusted to try and take away his strengths, and now it's on him and you to try to readjust to open some different things up?
Yeah, that's the cat and mouse game, and every year, you know, they – you know, defenses are pretty determined to stop explosive plays and not let those types of throws be had. And there's a patience involved in some of it too, and knowing when to check the ball down. It's all of those things together. And we got to adapt and adjust when those things aren't there. A lot of things that I can help with in that regard. And then, it's the patience part of it, that those things come. And when you start hunting those plays too much, you put yourself in position to make some mistakes too. So, again, I think it's all of those things. There's no one singular answer to that. All of it has a part in the process.
Of course, you can't speak for him, but when you have a quarterback that's talking about rewiring his thought process, getting that time to sit back and watch the game and then having this time off, is there something that can be gained for that? Can that – you know, help the game kind of slow down? Can he benefit from the rest?
Yeah, there's always time to benefit. You can always gain something from observing. I'm still a big advocate of learning by doing. I think quarterbacks, there's no substitute for experience. There's no better way to learn than, you know, some failure as well. I mean, you got to learn those lessons, and I think that's how you get better fast. But certainly there's a time and a place where you can learn by watching others, by stepping back out of the intensity of it. Sometimes there's things to be gained from that. But I'll always probably stand on the table for quarterbacks needing to experience and play to learn the lessons they need to learn. There's no other way you can simulate it or teach it other than letting guys play.
You guys sort of self-scattered and, I guess, evaluated the last couple of weeks. Were there any things, like, systematically or scheme-wise that you felt you could do to help Will, to aid Will?
There's definitely things that we felt we could do more of, do better, do less of some of the things maybe we hadn't had as much success. So, yeah, I felt good coming out of the bye about some of the things that we can do to help schematically. And in the run game and the pass game and the protection game, I think I got a pretty good grasp, I think, of what I can do to help that process. And I think that's important for me. And then, I'm going to go out and do it.
To the rewiring point, are there specific areas where you've seen that happen? Is it too small of a sample size to say, or can you give us concrete areas where he's changed?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you look at his, I think when he's completed the ball at a pretty good rate, which is part of playing the position. He's been really pretty patient. I've called a handful of play action plays that didn't necessarily have the shot down the field we were hoping for, and he did a really good job of quickly finding the check down and moving us on to the next play. And that's a maturity process of playing quarterback. Those things I've been encouraged with in the early part of the season, and now there's a you never want to take the aggressiveness away from the quarterback. And I think that that's the fine line is you want to be aggressive. You got to toe the line a little bit. There's part of playing quarterback that's in Will's DNA of, you know, there's a little bit of F it, you know, like, you know, I'll dive for the first down. I'll throw the ball into that coverage. So you got to have that balance, but you have to have that. You don't ever want to get to a point where a quarterback that's aggressive in nature has to feel like he has to dial it back. So there's a you work through that process, and I think he's done a good job of that. He's completed the balls when asked, and then again, that's kind of to Paul's question about the aggressiveness and the balls down the field and the kind of the moments of brilliance that he's had in his 13 starts. That's just finding the balance of when to do it and how to make sure we're helping the team while still being aggressive. So yeah, there's it's a very fine line you walk.
Another week where some uncertainty about the opposing team's quarterback. Mm-hmm. How are they different with Flacco and Richardson, and maybe what's the challenge with each one?
The challenge with Flacco is his veteranness. He is not afraid to throw the ball down the field. They go hunting up for some shots as much as possible. He's certainly capable. I think he's one of the better deep ball throwers in football in general, always has been. So that part you have to manage. He may not be able to move like Richardson can, but he doesn't need to because he knows where to go with the ball. And he ends up finding completions. Whereas Richardson, you just see the immense talent. I mean, he's the throws that he's put on tape are pretty remarkable. His ability to put the ball in his hand is a totally different dynamic as a runner. And you sort of have to treat the two quarterbacks in a different manner with your rush packages and how you rush the quarterback and, you know, all those things that go into the different styles. But, yeah, there couldn't be, like, more polar opposite styles you're getting ready for than Joe and Anthony. And they both have, they're all capable of beating you. And they're all – they have talent. They're just very different styles, and it's a challenge.
Do you feel like, whether it's coaches or players, they're a little bit more relaxed now that you kind of got the proverbial monkey off your back with the first win of the season?
I hope not. I hope we're still hungry as ever. I hope we still feel like we haven't won a game. There's an edge that we played with on Monday night that I thought was really positive. Our focus was outstanding, and you never want to relax. Sure, I think it feels good that we've gotten, you're not 0-for. That certainly feels good. But I liked where our team was last week. I like how we played. And look, I told our team in our team meeting after the game, we've won one game. And I'd like to win a lot more than one. And I think that any feeling of relaxing, any feeling of that we've arrived is obviously incredibly premature. And I don't mean that's with the question that you asked, but I like the edge our team plays with when our back's up against the wall a bit, and I hope it stays that way.
That was Tennessee Titans head coach Brian Callahan addressing reporters at St. Thomas Sports Park. We'll react to what he had to say with Jonathan Hutton. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. And now joined by Jonathan Hutton of Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, last week as you left us, you said, keep an eye on whether the Titans add a practice squad quarterback in terms of Will Levis's availability after the bye. Well, the Titans did in fact add a practice squad quarterback. They signed Trevor Siemian, who has some history with Brian Callahan. Brian Callahan just said that has nothing to do with Levis's status for this week. He is expected to participate in practice, albeit limited. Should we read more into this, though, that Trevor Siemian is now a member, albeit of the practice squad of the Tennessee Titans?
Well, I mean, good to be with you guys. Yeah, I mean, look, Callahan has said a couple of times since he was hired that he does not prefer to carry a third quarterback, even on the practice squad. That's not his that's not the way he wants to go about things, unless he has to. And it does affect his status for Sunday, because Callahan also said in that presser we just heard that they're going to see how he feels today and then see what happens on Thursday. So that's why they have to have the quarterback in, and that's why they went with the veteran over a younger player, because you need, much like Mason Rudolph, who at best is going to have limited reps if he has to start, you need a vet that can come in and just run some of the basics of what this offense will be about. But make no mistake, this is a it's a big week for Will Levis in the overall evaluation.
Here's this, as the new show open says, I am a fan of maximum chaos. So let's do the maximum chaos scenario here. Will Levis is too injured to play. He tries, but ultimately the Titans decide to start Mason Rudolph on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. And Mason Rudolph wins. The Titans improve to 2-3. Brian Callahan has been steadfast that when healthy, Will Levis is the Titans' starting quarterback. But if he were not to play, Mason Rudolph did, and the Titans win to go 2-0 under Mason Rudolph, what happens next?
Oh, well, first off, if they win, that is a great thing for Will Levis, whether or not he's able to play or not. Because they have to be able to develop and evaluate Will Levis, which means he needs to be healthy, and blend that with the focus of maintaining a competitive team focused on winning in October on the scoreboard. Because if they lose this game, and it's a pivotal game for that to happen, like in order to just keep focus on, well, in our case, guys, and maybe in many of the cases of fans listening, by mid-November, we're on pace to reach that 20-game mark that so many have pointed to as their personal marker for Levis in this assessment, and maybe that continues to push back a little bit if he can't play. But we're also trying to avoid the let's talk Titans draft by mid-November, by Thanksgiving. I mean, please, let's avoid that for another season, right? Like, absolutely, the season comes down to whether or not Will Levis is good or not, because quarterbacks matter. But aside from the obvious reason of trying to climb out of this awful start, they need to win Sunday to show any sign that they can avoid those pitfalls, which is also going to play into Levis's, overall evaluation. And avoids what I was talking about in the preseason, where I think the worst thing that can happen is you don't really think you've evaluated him thoroughly, and you just run it back next season. So that's if it takes him sitting this game, okay, because he's healthy, and I think they go back to him. I'm just listening to Brian Callahan. They're going to play him if he's healthy. And with Mason Rudolph and the way they won that game last week, it's a similar game plan this week, by the way. Indianapolis does not stop the run. They have to run the football the same way they did against Miami, and better.
No, you're absolutely right, Jonathan. This team's going to have to do something, at least in my opinion, to take the pressure off their quarterback to try to make things happen. If Indianapolis has a hard time stopping the run, then you run the football 40 times. Force them to stop. But a part of me thinks that, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but a part of me thinks the arrogance of the head coach will not just sit and say, you know what, let's run the football because they can't stop the run. They brought him here because why? Because he helped coach some really good quarterbacks, and they feel, at least the owner feels that she has a really, and she said it, that she has a quarterback that she believes in. So with that being said, I mean, yeah, Indianapolis is the worst team in the NFL at stopping a run, but I'm not sure even that will cause Brian Callahan to take the ball out of Will's hands and put it in the hands of the running back.
Well, Levis has to be, he has to be on point in doing what Callahan was trying to praise him for, which I think also comes down to some of the protection issues where he's called some play action. I mean, we heard that, right? He called play action, and Levis has done a good job of sometimes just pulling it back, checking it down, taking what's there. Look, let's reverse real quick what Adam just mentioned about, the chaos ensues here, and we see another win by Mason Rudolph. Let's flip it and say we see a win by Will Levis coming off of injury. They did put him back in the game after he had the injection in his shoulder, and he kept his spot on the sideline with his helmet on in Miami. Because a week later, we're looking back on that, they want to evaluate their quarterback moving forward. They want to keep him healthy. Okay, all good. If you want to buy into that, that's cool. But here's the thing. It's week six. Five AFC teams have only two wins. Or two wins, period, at least. You've got the same number of AFC teams, which is just have one victory. So that's 10 of the 16 in the AFC have no more than two wins. 13 games are left. All six divisional matchups remain for this team. And then after Sunday, the next AFC South matchup for the Titans comes the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So if you're on board with doing what's best for winning, Sunday's game is huge for those in that lane. If you're on board with prioritizing coaching up Will Levis, Sunday's game is huge for that development too. He's coming back to the lineup after rehabbing his butt off throughout the bye week in order to go and help this team win a game, all while coming off of a win in Miami that he did not help produce. So if I'm a player, coach, or fan, I'm thinking that it's time for Will Levis to show he's our starting quarterback by winning some of the doubters back. And some of those would have to be in the locker room after going into a week off, coming off a win, and also witnessing losses where Levis was issue number one. And when she fired Vrabel, Amy Adams Strunk wrote to all of us that this franchise would, quote-unquote, win the moment in their rebuild of this team. And we will see on that in time. But Levis's time is right now. I mean, he's got to seize the moment, to use Amy Adams Strunk line. And he has just a handful of these opportunities left. That's true for sure if he's going to contribute more to losing than winning, where the team goes home thinking, or if not for the quarterback, they win today. Or if you subscribe to this, we need to see the fair assessment of if he's the guy. We're about a month or so away from that marker that everyone's put out there. But this Sunday is a massive moment to tell if he's the guy, Mace. If Callahan goes with him, no matter his shoulder injury or not, this is about beating the Colts, just like it was about beating the Dolphins. And they had him stand and watch while Mason Rudolph was able to hand the football off. But we have to keep in mind, this is game five for them. Coming off a bye week, after the ability to self-scout and potentially correct some issues. And while I don't believe I've watched a playoff team or watched a playoff quarterback on this team so far, I want to see an urgency with this coaching staff and group of players who want to fix this thing and go win some ball games. So that's what I mean by the blend. The process of developing and evaluating Levis has to blend with the focus of maintaining a competitive team. But we'll also say, if Levis comes back and helps his team win off the shoulder after rehabbing, showing that he's not just going to sit because he's hurt instead of being injured, that's a huge marker for him in the positive category in a season so far that doesn't have them. So I say, yeah, he's going to do everything he can to play Levis. And I think it's a great evaluation for us to see what he's got in a moment where, I mean, playing NFL quarterback, usually we witness a couple of these per season by starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, in listening to what you just said, Hutt, about Amy saying, you know, seize the moment and taking advantage. The decisions that she's made, because I think this is her decision in regards to the quarterback, because she's already come out and says she believes he's the guy. She said that before the season started, right when Callahan got hired. So I'm not sure if Callahan really has any say whether you're going to bench Will Levis, you know, permanently or not. I think you can get away with it now because of the injury. And if you choose to sit him, you can. You can say, well, I'm trying to protect your asset, so we need to sit him for another week. But I'm not sure. Listen, because the decision that she made 2 years ago, she probably thought was the best decision for the franchise. But look what has happened to the franchise since he made that decision to move away from John Robinson. And again, I'm not litigating that, but I'm just saying, like, if that's your guy, meaning Will Levis, you've already made a decision that has altered the franchise by firing your GM in the middle of the season, and this team has not been able to regroup. Now, at least I believe, this is the decision of you, the quarterback. It has nothing to do with the head coach. You want him to play, he's going to play. The minute you don't want him to play, then he's going to sit down. You can be making a decision to alter this franchise even more, and not in a good way.
Well, yes, but at the same, let me also say, like, and what Paul, yeah, it was Paul that was asking about some of these perfect or incredible throws, right? That we saw from last year. We've referenced a few of them here on the show. We've seen some of them from Levis this year. The coach wants to push the ball down the field. You can hear him talk about play action. And, you know, he mentioned the pick that Levis threw where it was up to Burks in the Jets game and part of that answer. You know, like, he called that play action after that fumble in that game. Like I think Levis is the quarterback that can give him that. I'm talking about the coach, Mace. Mm-hmm. Also, like, you again, early in the season is where we sit. There comes a point in time, though, where if you're still undecided, you have your answer. And I don't think you sit around and watch a bunch of bad football if you're a player. You correct me if I'm wrong, and think, oh, by mid-November and throughout December, this is going to be a team that's totally invested in the mission of developing the quarterback that hasn't helped us win and took us out of the playoffs before we got started. Like, I think you have to balance both and focus on mm-hmm. both. And, I mean, if Levis was able to go back in the game last week and this was an ownership decision, I don't think she sits him for Mason Rudolph. I think there is a genuine attempt to see every possible scenario that they can have to evaluate him for the future. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if I'm Will Levis, the future's now, because that you've only got a handful left before it's like, okay, we know what we see here. He hasn't made the egregious mistake again, but this is leaning towards the loss column more than it is the win column. Again, it's got to be both. And let me also clarify, when Strunk wrote that about seizing the moment, she's talking more about, you know, the short-term future of seasons, plural. And I'm saying that the seize the moment for Levis is like this month. I mean, there's no doubt.
But if you seize,
if Callahan leaves it up to Levis this week, uh-huh. like he alluded to, dude's playing on Sunday. There's no doubt about it.
But if you're trying to seize the moment now, it's ultimately is going to affect your future. So whatever moment you're trying to seize with this quarterback, you need to make yes. a decision very quickly here, because I get what Callahan's saying, you know, some of these throws that Will Levis is making. But he's a starting damn quarterback.
That's like
me saying, oh, that was a hell of a catch that D-Hop made. No, D-Hop's an all-world receiver. He should make that. So if you've touted this guy of having a strong arm that can make every throw in the book, I don't want to hear about, you know, look at that throw he made. He's supposed to make that throw. But that's how you keep your fan base tantalized. Oh, look at that throw he made. He's almost there. When in actuality, that's a throw he's supposed to make, and he's not almost there.
Well, and that's why I said, like, I'm thinking that it's time, if I'm a player, mm-hmm. fan, coach, whatever, I'm thinking it's time for Will Levis to show he's our starting quarterback by winning back some of the doubters.
Exactly.
There are plenty of
them. Be consistent. Be consistent yes. in your play. That's all. And I'm not talking about the all world. Just be consistent in your play, Will Levis, and you haven't been.
Be reason number one to lead this team to victory.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, we were talking about the running game. I think it's going to be really something to watch this weekend, because all of us have in our mind the two games that these teams played against Green Bay, where Green Bay just ran it right at them and won the game.
Yes.
You know, with a ton of success. If you take that game away, or at least since that game, the Colts have done much better against the run. And so their overall rankings against the run are not that bad, but they did probably get skewed some because they gave up the 65-yard run to Tank Bigsby towards the end of the game against the Jags, which was a huge play in the game. But that being said, I think the Titans have to try to go about it again, right, with the let's see if we can take a lot off of Will Levis's plate, presuming he
yes.
plays, and
every
let's
week,
see
really.
If we can control the game, because I think he can look at the two defenses and say, I think the Titans on paper have the better defense.
Yes. And I mean, and I mean, just look, think about what the Colts are saying the same thing, you know, like it's a weird matchup in terms of storyline, because if you just took names out of it and said, this team wants to run the football against X team. I mean, it's certainly we're looking at what the Titans' run defense did versus what we saw against Green Bay. You know, like the Colts are also looking at that film. The difference is the quarterback. That would be what they're looking at with Richardson. But if it's Flacco, it's the total opposite of going against the secondary that would need to step up big. So, and then if you can flip that with the quarterback decisions, I bet Dan Dockett's just talking about the quarterback decision for Indy just as much, where you've got Flacco, who's last week, Joe Flacco ran nearly 19 miles per hour on a scramble. That is crazy to think about it.
That's fast Ferrari fast right there.
He looked good on that run.
At 40 or whatever. That's the fastest, according to Next Gen Stats, it's the fastest he's been able to run on a scramble that he's been clocked at since he was 31 years old back in 2016. So, like, you know, there are all these little points to mention for, like, what gets the offense going and who's playing the best quarterback, who helps them win the most. It's about Jonathan Taylor in Indy. And right here in Nashville, it's about the dual threat combo of the run game and the offensive line, which performed better at run blocking than they did pass protection.
It's an interesting group of stats, too, Hutt, when you look at the Titans' running stats.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Pollard and Spears, they don't really jump out at you. It's not like somebody's running for close to 5 yards per carry or anything close to that. They did control the game. They made the tough runs, and they've had some good timely runs. And it looked pretty good against the Dolphins, but I'd like to see another level of efficiency there.
The Titans running backs have been boom or bust. The running game this season has been boom or bust. They either pull off these big runs or they're getting stuffed behind the line.
And there's really not that many big runs. Mm-hmm. Like Pollard had the 41 yarder.
He had
the one that was called back for holding. That would have been a huge run. But even when they throw to those guys, the numbers also don't look that great. I'd like to see another level of efficiency there, because I think that's how they could win.
Totally agree. And I, you know, the screen game, there have been matchups this year where I haven't seen the screen game be as prominent as I figured it would be week to week, which can be an extension of that run game. Maybe some of the calls were there and they either audibled out or they took the intermediate to a deep shot on the passing route rather than taking the check down. Nonetheless, I'm with you guys, and I'm with you, Willie. Like I thought the run game aspect would be more split. I thought we would see 50 to 100 yards more of total offense from each guy, if you want to put it that way. But maybe reaching the end zone a couple times more from Tajay Spears, I think, is what I expected of more of a split, where it's been the Tony Pollard show much of the first handful of games here. But again, that's where I think the bye week helps them in terms of assessing where they are. Bill Callahan jumping in there too on the run game aspect of this offense. They have to run it well, and they have to run it well from the jump, not just this fade off and fade back in type thing where they're behind the chains and it gets to a point where there are certain drives where it doesn't matter because the down and distance doesn't dictate anything that they can do in terms of handing the football off behind them, either because of an offensive line penalty or, you know, you have the fumble where you get the recovery, but you're down, or in many cases, the sack, the loss of 9 yards on first or second down is crippling.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick as he does every Wednesday afternoon. Hutton, thanks for chatting. We'll talk next week.
No doubt. What do you guys think? You think Levis is playing? I do.
I do as well.
Yeah, I do.
I do.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I do think we'll see three quarterbacks up and Simeon as the emergency. I think there's no doubt about that, given what we just heard from Callahan. But what a big moment for Will Levis if he can go out and help this team win.
Absolutely. Hutton, enjoy the game. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Always enjoy this.
Always our pleasure. Jonathan Hutton joining us. Speaking of Will Levis, whenever you look at lists of quarterbacks, power rankings, whatever, Will Levis is near the bottom because of just how he's played. But I saw a list today where Will Levis is near the top, and it's actually a good thing for the Tennessee Titans. We'll explain next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join Jarrett Stoneman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Jon Bon Jovi's Nashville this Sunday for the pregame show from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m., they will break down the Titans' Week 6 matchup against the Indianapolis Colts and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. So before the break, I mentioned, when you look at lists of quarterbacks, power rankings, tiers, whatever, Will Levis, obviously, near the bottom of the list. He's had a rough season. But I saw a list today where Will Levis was near the top, and it's a good thing for the Tennessee Titans. Dan Graziano of ESPN had a story today tiering all 32 NFL quarterback contract situations. The top tier, they're not like tier one, tier two. They're in different categories. But in the free and clear tier, which Graziano explains as these teams can move on literally whenever they want from their quarterback situation, even right now, they have perhaps the most manageable circumstances. There are four teams in the free and clear tier. The San Francisco 49ers with Brock Purdy, the Pittsburgh Steelers with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, the Las Vegas Raiders with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, and the Tennessee Titans and Will Levis. According to Graziano, Will Levis has roughly $4 million in remaining guarantees. Graziano writes in part, quote, "The dead cap hit in 2025 for Levis would be around $4.8 million, and if they cut him after 2025, it would be about only $2.225 million. The Titans, with a new coaching staff, are using the season to help determine whether Levis is their quarterback of the future. He currently has four touchdown passes but six interceptions. If the Titans get to the end of this season or next and decide they want to look elsewhere, the contract won't keep them from finding a replacement and either cutting him, trading him, or keeping him on the roster as a backup. If Levis does play like a franchise quarterback, he'd be eligible for an extension after the 2025 season and would have a bit of leverage since, because he was not a first-round pick, the team does not hold a fifth-year option on his deal." So as we talk about the future and Will Levis, Willie, you've mentioned this many times. The Titans are in a very manageable situation considering the sunk cost for Will Levis would be minimal compared to other quarterbacks around the league.
I wonder, given these circumstances, how Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker, as they look ahead, as they should, right? I think they have to believe that plan A will work and Will Levis will take the reins and do his thing, because that would give them maximum flexibility for next year. Because the beauty of Will Levis's contract too is that next year, he still doesn't make very much money. This is what the 49ers have done with Brock Purdy's contract. It's allowed them to really load up the rest of their roster, even though right now the 49ers have got a few issues.
I told you the 49ers with the Buffalo Bills.
I'll tell you, they let one get away the other day. They got to be a little worried with what's happening. That aside, when your quarterback makes 1% of the salary cap, that is a huge advantage. For it gives you tons of options to address the roster in other ways. And it's tried, and what the Titans have tried to do is mask the fact that they've had three terrible drafts, and the top of their drafts have not been fruitful at all. So how do you compensate for that? Well, you spend money on free agency to plug some holes. Let's see where that takes them. But here is what I think they have to be thinking. If the Levis thing at the end of this year doesn't look good, how much money can they budget for the next quarterback? Because as Adam pointed out, the early reports on the guys who are going to be the first round picks this year for quarterback is less than impressive right now. So you have to be kind of looking around going, am I bringing Mason Rudolph back next year? Mm-hmm. That could certainly work to the budget. That's not going to cost you very much. Is there a Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold reclamation project that's going to cost you a little more, but maybe a failed first-round pick that's going to cost you $20 million instead of $50 million or $40 million? I think that's the key. They have the flexibility to do this, but you have to be thinking, what is option B and what are we budgeting for that? Because that's a fact. They can walk away from Will Levis and do it pretty cheaply.
Well, they can walk away from Will Levis if they want to. I don't think they will. I think they're going to give him every opportunity to win the starting, to solidify himself as a bona fide starting NFL quarterback that they don't have to worry about, you know, for the next 10, 12 years. Now, whether he gets to that point or not, that's yet to be seen. But I think they got in their mind, I think they have their minds made up. They want to really see what this young kid has before they make any decisions. And it may be a two-year process, this year and next year. I think the thing that's working on their side is this, because this is going to be a different team, whether Will Levis proves that he's the guy or not. This is going to be a different team. Why? Because D-Hop is on the last year of his deal. Tyler Boyd has a one-year deal. Treylon Burks, you don't know what you're going to do with him. I see him not being on the team next year. So you got to replace potentially three wide receivers with a quarterback that you're not too quite sure of, and you may not be quite sure of at the end of the season. So you're going to have to restock the cupboard once again. Yeah. So they may just keep them, because if you look at the quarterbacks in this year's crop, and I know we don't want to, you know, sort of put the cart before the horse, but look at the quarterbacks in this year's crop. Even though I think Shedeur Sanders is the number one quarterback, there's no consensus on these are the two or three guys that is going to ultimately change your franchise. They haven't been talking about that with any of these quarterbacks. And I think Shedeur Sanders is the best quarterback out the bunch. So if they don't believe there's a quarterback in this year's draft, they might as well just hold on to Will Levis and stockpile everything even more. Do what San Francisco did. Go out there and legitimately get some young players that can play. Because right now, you have older players that are getting ready to segue out of the league. They can still play, but they're not going to be here if indeed Will Levis proves that he's the guy. They're not going to be around to see the fruits of all the labor.
Adam in Portland, our friend Adam, is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, go ahead.
What's up, Adam, man? Hey, this is my thing, man. Like, clearly the Titans want to lose. Like, they're telling you that. When they say, we're going to go with Levis, it reminds me of when Kerry Collins went in and they stuck with Kerry Collins. They didn't say, we're going back to Vince Young. Obviously, guys, we're going to go back to Vince Young. No, they didn't do that because Kerry was playing well enough. So it's stupid. Like, how are you going to sell that to fans? Like, yeah, we're going to ride that. Even if we were to wrap our heads around, we're going to lose enough to get another quarterback, you're going to put him behind a line that sucks. And just like D-May said, he's losing half of his weapons. So what are you really doing here, man? Like ride it out with Mason. It's not going to happen. But how do you sell that to fans? Like, this is a depleted roster. We are not a quarterback away. So how do you tell me we're going to go get us a new quarterback? It sucks.
Thanks, Adam.
Well, I mean, those are good points, because ultimately, you know, the decision you make in regards to your quarterback will set you on a course to either succeed or fail. And at this point, you don't know what Will Levis is. Yes, he's shown some flashes of being good, but he showed more flashes of being a bad quarterback. But they're going to ride this out. That's what the head coach said. That's what the owner, you know, has alluded to at the beginning of the season, that Will is the guy. So how do you go back from that? And you just got to find a way to hold that locker room together. If Will Levis can't get the job done and you don't want to move away from him to go to Mason Rudolph, you got to find a way to keep that locker room together. Because if not, guys are going to be looking around like, man, what are you doing?
I do think by the end of the year, Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker, they want to have a list, and they hope that list is long, of who are the young players that we are really building the foundation around. They're certainly hoping Will Levis is on that list. You can't put him down there right now, not even in pencil. You can't put Treylon Burks down, not even in pencil. No. He's on the other list of not looking good. The good news is Devondre Sweat, J.C. Latham, I think you can put them down in pencil and hopefully in pen pretty soon. That list, though, needs to get longer. That's really how you win. If you're just out there going, man, we just got to spend a bunch of money and plug holes, that is just not going to do it. This is a stopgap. It's really about that list when you get down to it, regardless of what the record ends up this year.
But everything is predicated on the quarterback. You know,
sure.
With that list, whatever list we want to put together.
But if you got a whole other list of positions you got to throw money at, you're going to run out of money. You're not going to have enough money to go get another quarterback.
But that's why I said they're just going to keep Will Levis, because he doesn't make a lot of money.
Is there a scenario you bring him back as the backup next year, where you decide he's
the backup?
I don't
think they're going to bring him back. I hope Will Levis gets better. I hope he stopped making these same mistakes that he's made just about every game. I really hope he does. But in an event that he doesn't, I think they're going to hold on to him because it costs them nothing. And what else is out there, you know, other than going? Because, again, you don't want to go get a veteran quarterback that's just going to be a temporary fix. You want to have somebody that you could put in there and say, this is our guy. Now let's surround him with a whole bunch of players. You can't – I mean, it may work here and there, but to keep your fan base, like Adam said, you got to find that guy. And they're hoping and praying that Will Levis is that guy. I hope he's that guy. But frankly, right now, and I heard Brian Callahan say, stop, damn it, saying 13 games. Stop it. You see what Jaden Daniels is doing? Well, if that's the case, you shouldn't be calling plays, because whoever calling plays in Washington, they're doing a hell of a job with Jaden Daniels. So don't give me this 13 games. I'm done, and I guarantee you, the guys in the locker room, truthfully, honestly, are tired of hearing about the 13 games or 14 games if he does start this week. Damn all that. Just play ball, show us you can play, and let it be that. Whether it's 13 games, one game, but stop bringing up the 13 games as some damn crutch or an excuse for why Will Levis has been making the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. 13 times he's made just about the same mistakes over and over and over again. I hope he does get it and he's not making these mistakes anymore, because I would like for him to be the quarterback that ushers this team into that new stadium. But he's had 13 tries, and damn it, he's made at least 11 mistakes in those 13 starts.
615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans in the final hour of our program. Usually we talk to Mitch Light from The Athletic Wednesdays at 1, but Mitch told us he is on a European vacation. He doesn't want to be bothered, though. We might, you know, prank call him, see if he answers the phone. But we will have a special guest instead of Mitch Light, and that special guest will join us next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.